From 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. For our New Year's show, we thought we'd mix it up with a little something old and something new. We'll have a special two-part interview with local artist Anila Aga, who won the 2014 Art Prize in Grand Rapids.
And we'll revisit an interview I did in November with Jennifer Complo-McNutt about the new Art 2.0 show at the Idle Drug Museum. And we'll have that arts calendar we call What'll We Do?
All that and more right after the latest news from NPR.
The annual Art Prize competition held in Grand Rapids, Michigan, featured 1,536 artist entries representing 51 countries this year, competing for over $500,000 in prize money. Indianapolis's own Anila Aga won the People's Choice Award and tied to win the Juried Award, the first time that the same artist took both the top prizes. Travis DiNicola invited Anila into our studios to talk about her winning work, intersections, and about her art prize experience.
Anila, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Travis.
It's
my pleasure.
You're very welcome. I am so excited to have you here. I got to just first off say congratulations to you for winning, the biggest art prize ever. And what I mean by that is the art prize is really an incredible event that's put on in the city of Grand Rapids each year. This past fall was the sixth year for it. It takes place at the end of September, beginning of October. And each year they have literally thousands of artists submitting their work, including their work, showing their work all over the city of Grand Rapids, in places where people can see the work for free, whether it's outdoors or indoors, in galleries and museums, in created spaces, in coffee shops and pizzerias and hotels. And Grand Rapids Art Prize has an element to it that's really kind of fun in that people get to vote for what their favorite artwork is. And mm-hmm. It's all types of artwork. I mean, sculpture and performance and painting and drawing and photographs and such. And there's huge prizes, which we'll talk about, that are given away, both for the popular vote as well as for the juried vote. And I was fortunate enough to – I've been able to attend Art Prize the past few years – taking a group from the Indianapolis Museum of Arts Contemporary Art Society up there. And when we were up there last October, one of the pieces all of us, of course, wanted to see was yours, which was on display at and still is on display at the Grand Rapids Art Museum as part of Art Prize. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I can't wait to have Anila on the show to talk about it. And at that point, I didn't even know you were going to win. I mean, of course, we were hoping. But anyway, so was that a fair sort of condensed explanation of what
Very
Art Prize
good.
Is?
Yes. Excellent.
Well, thank you. So your piece did something that no other piece has done before. I mean, first off, Art Prize is the biggest art competition like this in the world with the biggest prizes. Mm-hmm. And this year they were giving out two top prizes. One was a $200,000 prize for the juried vote, and the other was a $200,000 prize for the popular vote. Mm-hmm. And you essentially won both. I mean, you won popular and split juried, right?
Yes,
and
I did.
A $300,000 prize, Anila, that's awesome.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
that's quite nice.
It is quite nice. We'll talk about that, too, in a minute, too. But let's talk about your work first. I mean, this was the first time you had competed in Art Prize, right? Mm-hmm. And how did you hear about it, or what made you decide to want to be a part of it?
Kevin Beist is, I think, the director of Art Prize, and he came here to do a lecture at the IDADA event some 4 years ago.
Okay.
So that's how I found out about it, and I thought it was a really interesting idea to do that. And so I thought I should, you know, look into it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as time goes by, you kind of think of things that you could send in, and then other things get in the way. So I was delayed in competing in it last year. And so I was determined to do it this year.
Mm-hmm. And in the past, I should say, I mean, other local artists, Quincy Owens, Kyle Ragsdale, other artists have been a part of mm-hmm. it as well in the past. So this was your first year competing.
Mm-hmm.
The piece that you created, and the title of it is Intersections. Mm-hmm. Had you created that before, or did you create it specifically for Art Prize?
Oh, no. This was something I had intended to do. You know, I got a really nice grant from Indiana University mm-hmm. called New Frontiers. And what it does is that it allows for an artist or, you know, school of, you know, anybody who's in the arts and humanities to try something that they haven't done in their practice before. Okay. So I decided to go this route because I was very interested in creating a space that would be almost considered a sublime space where people could walk in and feel like they belonged.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an intent that, and the grant that I received was in 2012.
Okay.
And it took me 15 months to create the piece. And then once it was done, I started sending out applications to you know, and proposals to show it in different parts of the country and okay. internationally too. And so this was the first thing. Actually, earlier this year, I had submitted it into another competition,
mm-hmm.
and it did go viral earlier this year, but I didn't win anything then.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay, you know, I have to keep trying, otherwise, you
yeah.
know, I mean, all artists know how to deal with rejection, I think. So that was something I just toss it in a box and say, okay, I'll move on to the next one.
Well,
and then I applied for mm-hmm. Art Prize and I got in and I was very happy.
Well, let's talk about the piece itself. It is quite a large scale. I mean, I've mm-hmm. seen your work in other situations. You do often deal with light and shadows, but this was a whole room, a whole space,
mm-hmm.
and it's centered around an enormous cube. Describe mm-hmm. that to me.
It's a laser-cut, black lacquered cube that was constructed out of wood,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a single light source inside the cube itself. So it casts shadows outside, all around it, top, bottom, sides.
And the cube itself is about how big is it?
It's about 6.5 feet square.
6.5 mm-hmm. feet square, and the patterns that are cut into this wood lacquer. Tell me about them.
I visited the Alhambra in southern Spain some 3 years ago, and I was very fascinated by the Alhambra Palace, which is, you know, just an amazing jewel of architecture, design, art, everything. And when I was there, I was walking around and looking at the way people were interacting with that space,
mm-hmm.
and it fascinated me. And I've always strived in my own practice to deal with this idea of poetry or something, to create something poetic. And so this was like, I took about 1,000 photos. I came back home. I started doing some hand cutting. I was really fascinated, and I've always been fascinated by shadows, how they're cast, what direction they're cast. And so once I started looking at the photos and, you know, starting to think about what I wanted to create with this, it became all about the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the original and not the original. So, you know, our bodies are the original and then we cast shadows that are not the original. So that's something that always fascinates me. It's also dealing with the idea of post-colonial culture now. And so what is authentic and what is not authentic? You know, and how people appropriate from different places. So a lot of design comes from other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make it our own.
Are any of the, patterns that are in the cube traditional Islamic, or are these directly from what you saw in Spain?
Are
variations on that?
They are variations
yeah.
on that, because what I did was, once I started looking at the photos, and just to explain a little bit about the Alhambra Palace,
mm-hmm.
it's composed of wooden carvings as well as tile work, as well as, the ceilings are all carved, painted, frescoed. It's just like an amalgamation of art, delight. And so I decided to take parts and segments from different parts of the space.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can imagine a palace the size of the Metropolitan Museum, you know, and
yeah.
then picking out different
elements
motifs that
yeah.
I liked and then I combined it together into a single pattern.
Okay.
And so it is appropriated from the Alhambra, but the ultimate design became my own.
Because it feels very sacred, but mm-hmm. yet it's not quite identifiable. And I have to describe, I mean, the experience of walking into this gallery at the Grand Rapids Art Museum, you walk in and this cube, as you said, about 6.5 foot cube, made out of lacquered wood, is hanging suspended in the middle of the room. And mm-hmm. it's almost like it's floating in the air. And then you've got this incredibly bright light that's hanging in the very center of it, that's casting shadows across the entire room, the floor, the ceiling, and so that the whole room becomes part of the art. And what's really amazing is the way that the shadows sort of hit the corners almost perfectly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as you walk in, it was an incredible effect, because as people would walk in the room, you could hear them get quieter in the way they spoke, almost as if they were entering some sort of sacred space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a really physical experience for the viewer to walk in there and to experience that. Let me take a moment just to remind our listeners that this is The Art of the Matter, and I'm interviewing artist Anila Aga about the work Intersections that won this year's Grand Rapids Art Prize. I got to ask, how bright is that light in the middle of the cube? Because it's stunningly bright, it seems.
It's about 600 watts.
Wow. And it really, I mean, the shadows that it casts are long and clear and so defined.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you notice, the ceiling and the floor had the most clarity because mm-hmm. they were closer. And then the walls, because the space itself was about 44-foot square space.
Yeah.
The shadows became a little, as they
just
went further
diffused.
Away. Yeah. And so that was also the beauty of it. Like,
yeah.
something that's closer to you and is more, you know, about you
mm-hmm.
is clear to you, but things that are not so clear of usually the things that we fear. And so that was also part of why I wanted to do this, to create this space where people become anonymous in a sense, but they're mm-hmm. also immersed in this whole entire piece. So
well,
they
everyone
become
who's
part
in
of
there,
the art.
Right, because the shadows mm-hmm. are being cast on them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, and then their bodies cast shadows as well. So
yeah.
So it changes all the time. And I'm not sure if I can describe this well, but the entrance is sort of a cut opening a large entrance space into mm-hmm. the gallery. But there's a wall right behind that. And so what happens with the shadow is even though it's projected fairly clearly on all the walls in the gallery, at the entrance, the shadow, of course, keeps going and then is projected on the sort of farther wall that's kind mm-hmm. of, you know, blocking the entrance. And you get a sense that this piece could just keep going on mm-hmm. forever.
Yes.
Another thing I really liked about it was that, and this was mentioned to me, I was there with Carter Wolf on the trip. And Carter, of course, used to be the director of the Art Center of Indianapolis, Indianapolis Art Center. And he mentioned how you could really only look at the piece directly if you were in one of the corners where enough of the corner of the construction was sort of blocking the light so that you could stare at it directly, because mm-hmm. otherwise it was almost too bright to look at directly, you know? And that also became sort of an interesting experience.
Well, also, like, if we think about the sun
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
how it's a single light source, but it's so bright that it casts all this beautiful light on us and it keeps us alive on this earth. And then, but it's a single light source.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also very interesting to me, to think about how the world religions are always talking about, a single God. And
yeah.
and then, but everybody's God is a little different
mm-hmm.
or the iteration is a little different. And so I wanted to bring everybody together to not think about that
mm-hmm.
particularly. So when you ask me whether the patterns are Islamic in nature, they come from, you know, every child that grows up in the Islamic world is familiar with these patterns because, in the Islamic world, you're not allowed to make human
mm-hmm.
figures and stuff.
Sure.
So they started to do a lot of the geometrical stuff, which
yeah.
in itself becomes so beautiful. So in a sense, it's the same idea as Christianity where, you know, the lived experience is not something to be very happy about. In Islam, it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to rise above the lived experience. And that in itself is also very interesting to me, that how can we be in a space or in a place in our heads and follow a religion that doesn't allow for the lived experience to be part of it.
We'll take a break here just for a moment to remind you that you're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI. Travis DiNicola has been chatting with Anila Aga, Heron Art Professor and winner of the 2014 Art Prize competition. We'll now return to the second part of his interview.
It's a very, complicated thought and complicated piece. And yet, you know, on one level, the piece is very sort of simple.
Yes.
But yet, obviously it had an enormous amount of appeal for so many people, you know, to win both the popular and the juried vote. What do you think? I know you talked to a lot of people who saw and experienced the piece. I mean, what were you hearing as far as why it appealed to so many people? I mean, you know, there were more than 1,500 works of art on exhibit this year at Art Prize, competing for the prizes. You know, why do you think yours stood out?
I think, you know, in my opinion, I think that it was because it sort of seemed luminous and hopeful. And, you know, with all the wars that we have witnessed in the last 5-6 years and also the natural disasters that have affected, you know, the world, people are looking for something to brighten their day or look towards hopeful future. And also the you know, the economy that took such a bad dip here in the United States and elsewhere in the world, I think everybody is looking to see something that would point towards a more hopeful future. And that's the other thing about art. It can raise you above yourself, and you can kind of reach a common goal. And I think that maybe this piece was able to do that in people's minds, because it was intensely beautiful, but it's also intensely poetic.
Anila, let's talk a little bit about your experience at Art Prize as well. I mean, all the artists that submit work, they have to essentially find a space that's willing to show them. And certainly the most coveted spaces include the Grand Rapids Art Museum, because it's just such a great space. And even though Art Prize as a whole isn't curated, individual spaces can curate what they show. And, of course, the Grand Rapids Art Museum wants to show the best of the best. So when did you find out that you were going to be able to exhibit this installation at the Grand Rapids Art Museum?
You know,
did that affect your work at all?
I would think totally, because, you know, that was obviously my first choice. I looked at the spaces, I did my research, and then I knew what my minimum requirement was for the space, and it had to be about 30 foot square.
Sure.
Or 30 by 40 or whatever. But, like, it needed to be at least minimum 30. And so, when I sent in the request, I sent it to a bunch of different places. I sent it to the DeVos building, I think. I sent it to a couple of churches. I sent it to the Graham. And then some other people contacted me about it. But when I looked at their spaces, I was like, you know, this is not going to work. And there may have been an occasion where I could have decided that, you know, the space that I'm being given is not large enough to show it to advantage, and I may not have done it. But I was extremely lucky. Right away, like 2 weeks into the thing, I got an email from the curator at Graham. Her name is Cindy Buckner.
And Graham is the Grand Rapids Art Museum,
And she was lovely about it, and she asked me some very pertinent questions, and she asked me what my intent was or my artist statement. And she sent me like a small paragraph about her curatorial idea. And I thought, this is tailor-made for this piece. You know, I mean, like, it was just like somebody had written that paragraph for this piece. It was about, you know, how we can get out of our comfort zones and, you know, experience something that's not so comfortable.
That's very fortunate that you were able to be there. Because, I mean, that was really, you know, I went to a lot of the different installation spaces and gallery spaces. And really, the only one I can even imagine it in is at the Graham. So during Art Prize, I mean, it's a 3-week-long event. Were you up there for a lot of it? For some of it, I mean, you were, of course, you know, still teaching your classes here at Heron. So I imagine you couldn't be up there the whole time.
No. I made it up for 3 weekends and 1 full week.
Okay.
And so that was really, really quite nice. The preview stuff started happening before it even went live.
Yeah.
And so I went up for that a few times. But it was pretty hectic because I could only take a week off. And, you know, I care about my students. I didn't really want to be gone for so long that they would suffer. And so it became a very balancing act.
I bet you were busy.
And then writing to them and telling them, you know, okay, you need to do this, this, and this while I'm doing that, you know, at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. It was just, but the experience was pretty amazing.
Well, even from the very beginning, you were getting some great reviews from people up in Grand Rapids, both professional journalists as well as just people attending Art Prize about, you know, you got to go see this piece. I mean, that had to be pretty exciting.
It was very exciting, but I was still, you know, I'm a very stoic person in real life. I just think that, you know, when things happen, they happen. You just have to deal with them and, you know, move on. And so even when people were saying all those and I was reading different reviews, I was like thinking, keep calm, you know, nothing may happen, but at least you got the best opportunity to show this piece at this awesome, amazing museum. And so I was quite happy to just be able to do that.
Well, and then throughout the process, they do narrow it down to the first group that gets the highest votes and finalists and all that stuff. So you knew that you were progressing. Mm-hmm. At what point did you really think, man, I have a chance that I could actually win this? When they announced your name?
Like I said, I didn't want to go there because the disappointment would have been too intense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they asked me on the day that I was coming in for the awards night. I was driving in, and it takes about 4.5 hours to drive. Mm-hmm. And so Sia, one of the young women who's with the PR department at Graham, she asked me if I could write my acceptance speech, like 3 or 4 sentences. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. But then I wrote her, like, you know, just thank yous to everybody who had helped me and get along on the way. And so I sent it to her. And that was probably the time when I really thought about it.
This could happen.
Yeah.
Let me take a moment just to remind our listeners that this is The Art of the Matter. And I'm interviewing artist Anila Aga about the work Intersections that won this year's Grand Rapids Art Prize. So, but it still had to be a huge surprise when you found out that you won the popular vote and won part of the juried vote. I mean, to get both is such an incredible compliment because
it is.
I mean, it's both amazing. Your peers and the public. I mean, that's huge.
That is wonderful. And like somebody asked me earlier a few weeks ago about which one was more important to me. I think I can't really pick between the two because, you know, to be able to reach across to the popular or the people at large is like an amazing feat. And often not many artists are able to do that.
Right.
You know, so, but then to be acknowledged by your peers and by the art professionals of the world kind of elevates, you know, what I've been doing and authenticates it, validates it. And so I can't pick. It's like a total balanced.
Well, and in the past with the Art Prize, there's been a lot of division, I would say, between, I mean, originally it was just a public vote, and then they added the juried part of it. And even with that, there's been a lot of division between what the jury liked and what the public liked. And there's been some beautiful pieces that the public have liked, but also some pieces people have really questioned, you know, about the quality of the art in the past. And so, I mean, it is kind of amazing that, you know, this is the first time that essentially everybody agreed.
Yeah. I mean, like, wow, it was quite an honor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, I couldn't have imagined.
Does this change your career? Or
I think it's a game changer, definitely. Yeah. It's.
I mean, you're still going to keep teaching at Heron.
I hope so. If they'll have me. But yeah, it's sort of like it validates what you've been doing all along. And for the last 15, 20 years, I've been making art. And so I'm just happy that it's been acknowledged on such a public forum. I think the magnitude is immense. And so that's what's amazing. I'm still getting emails. I'm still getting people writing about it. And so,
and not just regionally, but I mean across the country and across the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm getting like requests from like places like Korea and China. I actually did do an interview for an online blog that's called Art Radar that's based out of China, Armenia, you know, like Turkey.
Well, you know, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that in many ways, I mean, what you created is one of the most important artworks created in this past year by anybody.
And thank you.
That's a really cool, amazing thing. You know, so I got to ask you, you know, 300,000, that's nothing to sneeze at. plans for that?
Well, I'm going to take, hopefully, my sabbatical next year. Mm-hmm. So it's going to pay for that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to make some more work mm-hmm. next year. So my intent is to put it back into to my art practice and generate more work.
That's awesome. Do you mm-hmm. think you'll try to compete in Art Prize again or take some time off from that maybe?
I think I may step back yeah. and reevaluate mm-hmm. what I, you know, because Art Prize is it's an amazingly wonderful event,
mm-hmm.
but it's also intensely competitive
sure.
and very stressful.
Yeah. I would imagine so.
I mean, like knowing that you're participating and then everybody wants to talk to you or, you know, and then there's some...
I mean, that's a very type of different experience of what yeah. most artists have.
We live a very solitary life, yeah. you know. We live in our studios, and it's hard to be constantly on the, you know, on the go talking to people. I was happy to talk to people, but I'm also a very shy person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people don't believe that, but I am.
Well, Anila, I just have to say again, congratulations on winning Art Prize and on creating such a stunning and important work. I know that the piece is still on exhibit right now at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. What are the future plans for the piece? Can you share any of that with us?
I have a couple of inquiries mm-hmm. about showing it in different two locations right now. One
Excellent.
Is in Texas and one is in California. And so I'm kind of discussing it with them right now. Nothing concrete yet. And then I have also had some requests for acquiring it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing that I'm kind of working through. And then currently I'm building another smaller piece for an exhibition in the Middle East.
Wow. Okay.
That's going to be in stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's and actually, I went back to Grand Rapids to get it cut so that I'm giving them back some of the money.
Oh, that's really great. Yeah. That's awesome that you're
yeah,
able to do that.
We thought that it would be appropriate.
Well, mm-hmm. I really hope that in some form Intersections gets to be exhibited here in Indianapolis someday.
It would
so that
be
we
wonderful.
Can all see it. That would be yeah. terrific. Listen up, gallery and museum directors. most important piece to come out of Indianapolis ever. Show it now. Anila, again, congratulations. And thank you so much for coming in on Art of the Matter today.
I really appreciate it. And thank you for letting me ramble on.
Travis DiNicola with artist Anila Aga, who won the 2014 Art Prize competition. Anila is also an associate professor of drawing at the Heron School of Art and Design. For more information about Art Prize, including photographs of Anila's winning work Intersections, visit artprize.org. For more information about Anila, visit anilaaga.squarespace.com. That's spelled anilaaga.squarespace.com. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Sharon. A whole nother year.
A whole fresh calendar. And you know what? We don't like those blank calendars. We like to see calendars filled in with some cool arts events to see and do and enjoy. And we'll have some of those for you on today's edition of
What Do We Do? 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Well, as we always say, it's a great time to make some resolutions about going out to see some arts performances or exhibits that maybe you haven't seen before. Go to spaces you haven't seen before.
Right.
And so we've got some fun things on the calendar to kick off your new year. I'm going to start with going up to the Tarkington at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel and go see Diavolo, Architecture in Motion. They're performing on the 16th and 17th of January. And they are a really interesting company. They kind of combine dance with circus and stunt performance and gymnastics and martial arts and really big architectural sets that they move around and on top of and in. And it's kind of hard to explain, but kind of like picture that if you took like a bunch of Da Vinci sculptures and then had a bunch of Cirque du Soleil artists dancing on top of them. That's kind
of... I can picture that.
Okay, well, yeah, so that's Diavolo. It sounds like it's going to be awesome and definitely fun for the entire family. And that is on January 16th and 17th. at the Center for the Performing Arts in the Tarkington Theater.
Well, you know, I saw a couple of things at the Center for the Performing Arts that caught my eye in January as well. It's a little early for these, but make a note because you're going to want to score your tickets. The Emerson String Quartet is coming on the January 23rd at 8 o'clock at the Palladium with a beautiful program comprising Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven quartets. Beethoven, the harp quartet, which is one of those audience pleasers that you think you don't know and then you hear it and you're like, oh, wait, I do know that.
Oh, sure.
Indeed. Also, you might as well just, I don't know, if you don't live in Carmel already, get a hotel room and do something all day Saturday and stay over to Sunday and hear the Stanley Clark Trio, one of the great jazz ensembles, which is performing at 7 o'clock at the Palladium on Sunday, January 25th. Really dynamic jazz performance. So there you go. More at more information online.
Well, January is magic month in Indianapolis in many, many ways.
And yeah, the streets disappear under the snow.
Well, there you go. That's a trick for you. No, but really, the Indianapolis Winter Magic Festival is coming up on from Thursday the 22nd through January the 25th. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But if you can't wait and you need to get some magic in your life.
I do.
Then yes, well, right now, Indie Magic Monthly, that's Taylor Martin's show, Homegrown Magic is the theme this month, and it is coming up on, on Tuesday, January 6th, and that is at Theater on the Square on Mass Ave, again, January 6th, and features a whole bunch of fun magicians, Morris Poor, Craig Stone, Caleb Wiles, a mix of stage magic, as well as some fun close-up work and some street performance, and it is going to be an awesome show. Again, the homegrown magic theme, because all these magicians have different connections to Indiana, from Indiana, and they will be performing at Theater on the Square. You can always get more information at IndieMagicMonthly.com or tots.org for that. But later in the month, the Indianapolis Winter Magic Festival is taking place, as I mentioned, and this is a Indie Fringe production, and there's going to be just days and days and days. It's the fifth annual Winter Magic Festival of some of the best magicians from around the world. In fact, all of the magicians who are going to be performing at the festival have been chosen to represent the United States in the FISM World Championship of Magic, and that is a Federation of International Magicians, and all of the magicians that are performing here are going to be part of that. And then there's a really nice tie-in with The Illusionist, which is the Broadway show that's coming here at the Marat, which will also be taking place that week at the end of January. And there's lots of great ticket packages where you can go see The Illusionist as well as get tickets to the Indie Winter Magic Festival. And in fact, in the next couple weeks, I'm going to have a couple of the magicians from the Magic Festival here on Art of the Matter. Can't wait.
Well, a lot of local music fans think Time for Three is pretty magical. And
agreed.
Indeed. And I hope you've had a chance to see the TV 20 special about Time for Three that's been airing recently. A lot of fun, and our producers, our friends over on the TV site had a great time putting that together. Well, you can see Time for Three for yourself live and in person again on Thursday, January 15th with a happy hour performance at, happy hour at 5 o'clock, I should say, performance at 6:30, and concert, food, and drinks included in your ticket price. It's the Stella Artois Happy Hour at the Symphony, January 15th, something to look forward to in a cold, gray month.
Absolutely. Those guys will warm things up.
They will.
Right?
You can also still check out Jingle Rails, the Great Western Adventure. Travis, I know you love trains. So,
oh, yes, I do.
This is spectacular.
And I'm so glad they're extending this year into January.
Through January 19th, you can watch 7 trains wind past local treasures, both truly local treasures of downtown Indy, including the Idle Jordan Monument Circle, Union Station, how appropriate, Indiana State Fairgrounds, Lucas Oil Stadium. The trains then head out, though, and take you on the adventure through the national parks of the American West, passing legendary sites, including Grand Railway Lodges, Northwest Coast Native Villages, and wonders both natural and human-made, including Mount Rushmore, the Grand Canyon, Yosemite Falls, Old Faithful, and more. And what is the coolest thing about this, beyond the trains, of course, is that all of this wonderland is made out of natural materials like twigs, moss, and nuts, and bark and leaves, and it's just amazing and beautifully detailed. So Jingle Rails at the Idle Jordan through January 19th.
It is a really stunning exhibit, and Sharon, I don't know if you know this, but the artist who creates those. He and his studio that create all the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The only two places that he does this for are here at the Eitelgeorg and at the New York Botanical Gardens.
Right.
Yeah.
That's and right. That's, I think I learned that the first year.
And
that's
that show to get into the Botanical Gardens, that's like one of the hardest tickets in New York right now.
Right.
But we've got our own here.
We have our own, and you can a little bit easier to get into, so go enjoy it.
How cool is that? Hey, just an announcement to artists, giving you guys a heads up if you're listening and thinking about a new project for the new year. Well, the Arts Council did recently announce that they are doing the 9th round of Creative Renewal Arts Fellowships. And if you're not familiar with that, well, it's a great program that the Arts Council has been doing since 99 and basically providing a fellowship so you can sort of take a sabbatical to take classes or travel or rediscover and renew what it is that makes you an artist. And this year, they're going to be awarding 30 Central Indiana artists and arts administrators $10,000 to rejuvenate their talent and passion for the arts. And they have lots of information at indiearts.org. And they're also adding a new grant this year called the Transformational Impact Grant. They're actually awarding $200,000 two-year fellowships to artists as well. And they're going to have more information about that in the next couple weeks, again, at indiearts.org. But you need to get your applications going and get your information going so you can apply for that in the coming year.
And you're going to find out more about that on an upcoming edition of The Art of the Matter. Dave Lawrence is going to come in and give us more details and especially explain that transformational grant, which is brand new and very exciting.
Very cool.
But remember, you can always learn more about local arts events at indiearts.org/guide, the Arts Council of Indianapolis's Indie Arts Guide.
Very good. And we will be back next week, the second week of 2015.
The second week of 2015.
With more of that calendar that we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
We're going to revisit an interview Sharon Gamble did last fall with the Eitelgeorg's contemporary art curator, Jennifer Complo-McNutt, about the New Art 2.0 exhibit, which is on display right now at the Eitelgeorg. It goes through February 8th.
What is the concept behind New Art 2.0?
Well, New Art 2.0 is really designed based on, you know, the Eitelgeorg's 25 years old. And you look at the people that have supported the museum, mm-hmm. your collectors, and you say, wow, how are we going to keep this museum and this tradition and this legacy going? We need to start attracting and helping young people that are interested in collecting find ways to do that in an affordable way, but also with things that are really, quote unquote, good, things that really will appreciate over time, things that, you know, are quality pieces of art. So we got into partnership with Crow Shadow Institute, which is on the Umatilla Indian Reservation.
Which is where?
And near Pendleton, Oregon.
Okay.
And it was founded by one of our Eitelgeorg fellows, James Lavador, and he did this to bring economic development to the reservation. And this Art Institute is really well known for its press, and they have a Tamarant-trained printer there, Frank Jansen, and we got in partnership and said, hey, we'd like to take these prints that all these contemporary Native American artists come here and make all the time and frame them archivally and put them on display at the Eitelgeorg, because a lot of your artists are in our collection. In fact, some of the same prints that they'll be seeing in the exhibition are in the Eitelgeorg collection. And people will understand how important these artists are and be able to get these really high quality prints at a very reasonable price. And so we can therefore help people in their collecting endeavors.
As well as help the artists get wider, much wider distribution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's really how the idea started. The exhibition itself has over 85 prints. And they are gorgeous, and they are every variety from very small, you know, maybe about 11, 8 by 11 kind of size to 70 by 24. And they're all just beautifully printed under the guidance of Frank at the Umatilla Indian Reservation print shop, Crow Shadow. And they are archivally framed, so you don't have to worry about the framing. It's all set up. We did a small catalog so that we could document the provenance. Mm-hmm. And there are just some really wonderful things, really funny prints that some of our artists, like Jim Denemy, has done with, like, goofy Native people in canoes, you know, in goofy stream situations. And there are some very stunning kind of op art pieces that make you really dizzy when you look at them.
I want to see those. I like that idea. Yeah. The original mediums are a variety of things then.
Well, it's all prints. Right. So it's all on paper. And they're, you know, monotypes. There's some etchings.
Okay.
There are some chincolé, which is kind of like a collage kind of print.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wide variety and really beautifully saturated color. You walk in and you go, oh, it's really beautiful color. You can tell when something's been made at a really nice print shop versus, I don't know, something that I might run through the press.
Well, I love that you're also supporting one of your fellows in that he established this.
Yes.
This printing. What do you call it? Printing press. Printing. What do you call it? Printing press.
Print. It's a print shop.
Print shop.
And
yeah.
They have press. You know, so you would call it Crow Shadow Press.
Yes.
At Crow Shadow Institute of the Arts, and it is Jim Lavador that we're supporting. But you know, we have about 40 Idle Jork Fellows now, and I would say that there are 30 represented in the exhibition. So we are supporting a lot of the Idle Jork Fellows, other Native American artists. There are a few non-Native artists in the exhibit who are living in the West, mm-hmm. and doing work that has to do with their environment and what they're interested in. But they're all few emerging artists, but a lot of really established artists. And the thing about prints is they are multiples, but they are limited edition, and they are multiple originals is a good way to describe them. This is not something that you could purchase at, you know, CVS.
Right.
You know,
so they're numbered.
They're numbered.
Yeah.
And they are, I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
That's all right. They're numbered.
They're high quality.
They're high quality. And, well, they're unique. They're just a very unique opportunity. Oh, their price range. That's what I was going to give you. Even archivally framed, we're looking at something from about $375 to maximum of about $3,500.
Well, that's pretty stunning.
It is stunning. That's what I'm saying. It's stunning. It is really a great opportunity for, you know, somebody who has been thinking, I'd really like to have something real in mm-hmm. my living room or
yeah.
my bedroom or my child's room, but I don't have $10,000 to spend. But I would like to support the arts, and I do like the art that the Idle Jork has, and I would like to collect something by an artist that's in their collection. So this is the opportunity.
And you're probably not going to card people at the door. So if people, I know you're targeting new or younger collectors, but, you know, there might be, I have friends who are into adulthood and still don't have good art. And this might be a chance to get started.
And when I say new collectors, I mean, I don't necessarily mean, you know, people that are 40 and under. I mean,
yeah.
people that maybe have been looking at art for a long time, have a well-defined sense of their taste, but really don't know where to find something that is the right quality, you know, something by Cake Walking Stick or by Truman Lowe that they've seen in our museum.
Right.
And this is their opportunity. They'll walk in there and go, oh, I know those artists. You know, that's somebody I've heard Jennifer talk about since I've been volunteering here for the last 15 years.
Right.
You know, so.
So in choosing the works that would be in this exhibit, obviously one factor of your algorithm was, let's support artists who are mm-hmm. already affiliated with us in some mm-hmm. way. What were some of the other thoughts going through your mind? Just a wide variety, or
a wide variety? And you know, I looked at things like, you, not everybody likes abstract work, so there's some figurative pieces in the exhibition. A lot of people are really interested in landscape. There's landscape reference and landscape abstraction and real landscape in the exhibition. Mm-hmm. And then there are things that have to do with environmental causes. Hmm. There are things that have to do with animal life. There's goofy things. There's funny things. There are, you know, kind of clown-esque kind of figures that are cut out and a little bit different kind of a print. So there's all manner of, I wanted to make sure that there was all manner of subject matter and color and size so that, first of all, you don't want to walk in and go, oh, it looks all the same,
sure.
You know. So you have to think of the exhibition and then, you know, think of the people that are going to be there. There's going to be a wide variety. And I would say that the Idlejord Contemporary Collection supports a wide variety of medium, subject matter, et cetera, et cetera. Some things will be politically charged. Some things will be really clear references to Native culture. Some things are abstracted notions of Native culture. So just like all the surprises you see in the contemporary collection when you come to the Idlejord, that's what you'll see in the show.
Fabulous. This is a good opportunity to, you referenced this a little bit earlier, but circle back and tell us, since we're going to be seeing really good art prints, what are the hallmarks of good art print, or how can you tell that you're looking at one that's substandard?
Well, you can tell because the printing isn't exactly perfect, and I don't know how to describe that visually.
Like not aligned.
Yes, not aligned perfectly. Yeah. That's a good way to say it. But one way that you can really tell if something is a nice print is if it does have a quote-unquote hallmark or a chop mark. And that would be a chop mark by the master printer, because the master printer is there to help the artist make sure that their vision is achieved, and then by the print shop. And the master printer will not put his chop mark, which is like an embossed signature, on the print, or he won't put the print shop's signature on the print unless it does meet certain standards. Mm. And so most of the prints, since they're from Crow Shadow, are going to have those chop marks. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help identify that they are really superior prints. The other thing is I keep referring to saturation of color, because
right.
that is something that is remarkable when you look at the prints. It's very different than looking at a glossy poster image. You can see that the paper, and different papers do it differently, but you can see that the paper has absorbed the color, and that richness is much different than a print that you would see on an average printer or anything slick.
So someone has come and purchased one of these treasures and is taking it at home. Any advice? Keep it out of the direct sunlight?
I would say yes. Keep it out of the direct sunlight. And there is UV glass on these prints. So we've gone to some length to help you. As a curator, we are always very conscious about how long a print stays out. Mm-hmm. So prints and works on paper stay out for about 6 months and then rest for 6 months to a year and then go back. Now, as a curator, when I walk in my home,
different rules may apply.
And so that's why, because my prints, I have Rick Bartow print, I have a Truman Lowe print, and my prints stay on the wall constantly and happen to be, unfortunately, in the brightest room in our house. But we have taken steps to take care of them. They're archivally framed. They have UV protection. So my son and his family will get to enjoy these prints, and his family's family, and probably the next generation or two. My prints might last 200 years.
Wow. So if somebody's just starting collecting, would you guide people to collect multiples of the same artist or just collect what speaks to them?
Well, you know, that would depend. Are you collecting because you like that particular artist's style? Mm-hmm. Are you collecting a particular theme? Are you really interested in the environment? Do you love dogs? Do mm-hmm. you love the outdoors? Anything that has to do with the mountains, is that something that's of interest to you? So I would delve a little bit into what their interests are. And it is always fun to collect an artist's work because then you get to see their progression over time.
Sharon Gamble with the Idlejorgs Contemporary Art Curator Jennifer Complo McNutt. New Art 2.0 will be on view through February 8th.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. when I'll find out about the Chinese Shen Yun performance.
I'll get a preview of the Phoenix Theater's new production of River City.
And I'll take a look at what the Cabaret is offering for 2015. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call What Do We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.